It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore, the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Jones had just caught flat-footed. What an excellent, excellent route.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to answer some mailbag questions with our friend who is the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang. Over at JetsInsider.com, and above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. So let's jump right into the mailbag. Question comes in from TJ Fernbank. He says, is there a free agent left tackle or right tackle that the Jets could bring in to cover the inevitable injuries to Fant and Becton? Moses was huge for the Jets last year. Remember, Morgan Moses did not become available until the summertime. He was a surprise cut by Washington. So that's probably what you're looking at here. Somebody will shake loose. This always happens. And that's when I think the Jets will try to grab somebody. Moses clearly was very helpful for the Jets last year, and they definitely need somebody like that, a veteran swing tackle who can come in here and be good depth behind Becton and Fant. I like Max Mitchell. I think he has potential to be good, but I don't know that you want to be shoving him in there right now, right off the bat, when you still need to develop him. So I think that's probably how this is going to shake out. Somebody will end up getting released after June 1st, and that's when the Jets will really be active trying to get a swing tackle.
Yeah, and again, you know, obviously they would like a Max Mitchell draft pick to be able to do that. They don't think he'll be ready to do that, but that would be a super pleasant surprise for them that they would love. But yeah, that I was going to say too, right now there's nothing out there that you can just say, but those guys, there's not going to be a lot. I think that you should get ready to see, at least for the foreseeable future, you know, more wide receivers trying to get their way out for more contracts, but it's not going to happen with a lot of other positions. And, you know, every year around training camp, you might get one, maybe two quality offensive linemen that might slip free through the cracks for contract reason, whatever. You know, somebody, a new draft pick plays better in camp than the team even expected, makes a vet expendable. That's the type of thing, a couple of them at most you get a year. And, yeah, best believe Joe Douglas, we know again, Joe Douglas and offensive line. If an offensive lineman becomes available and Joe Douglas thinks that guy can help his team, he's going to do whatever he can to try to get that guy in there.
Next question comes from our guy Kevin Jackson, Spotty Blackman. He says, can we talk about the offensive philosophy, run first, run heavy, and how that changes the expectation around Zach Wilson and his improvement? Does Wilson need to be a top 10 quarterback in order for the Jets to be successful? I don't think Wilson needs to be a top 10 quarterback for the Jets to be successful now. I think over the long haul, that would be very, very helpful, obviously. You've seen teams that are good without a top 10 quarterback. The Tennessee Titans come to mind, the San Francisco 49ers, but clearly there's a reason why the San Francisco 49ers went out and gave up all that capital to go get Trey Lance. They want somebody who's better than middle of the pack like Jimmy G. You're seeing the Titans now try to figure out what to do. They drafted Malik Willis. They have that big contract with Ryan Tannehill, so they may be looking to move on from him as well. What I think this does, though, the selection of Breece Hall and having Michael Carter here and having the offensive line upgraded and being able to run block well, is that it takes a lot of the heat off of Zach Wilson. And I've talked about this a lot. The development of Russell Wilson is what I keep going back to. Dak Prescott to an extent as well, with him and Ezekiel Elliott. You look at what Russell Wilson did. He only had to throw the ball 25 times a game. He managed the game, made smart decisions, and over the course of a couple of years got better and better and better to the point where he eventually became a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I say that not to say that I think Zach Wilson necessarily becomes a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, but look at the progression in Wilson with him not having to do too much, being able to lean on the running game. It allowed him to advance his understanding of what was going on the field, develop, and eventually become an excellent quarterback. Same thing happened with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott being the running back there instead of Marshawn Lynch. So I think that's the formula. Ball control, big plays from the running back, take time off the clock, wear down the opposing defense, keep the opposing offense off of the field, and make sure that Zach Wilson concentrates on making smart decisions and not trying to be too much of a cowboy. I think that's what you're looking at here with that formula. And over the course of the next couple of years, what you want to see is steady improvement to the point where he eventually becomes that really, really good quarterback that the Jets thought they were getting when they drafted him at number two overall.
Yeah. Look, now you can go all the way back to, obviously you're going back to a completely different game, but go back to Brady's rookie career. He was an ultimate game manager, right? Like, they won those first Super Bowls strictly on defense and running the ball. And Tom Brady was like barely throwing the ball downfield at all. Just so little. But he then later on in his career, he turns into the guy breaking records with Randy Moss, right? And now you point out more modern day examples of this. Obviously, we're not looking at anything on extreme of Tom Brady, but I'm just using that as an example. As if you can help a young quarterback out with a strong running game and defense that requires less of him at first, then he can focus on the learning and understanding all the little things, the building blocks, and then everything else will grow and come naturally from there. And then you can slowly start to expand and open up his game. So that's kind of the theory. That's what you're looking for here. And that's why, as much as, you know, the game has shifted to more passing attack dominance, but you still see a lot of teams, especially with the younger quarterbacks, like, but we need to lean heavily on the running game to open up the passing game to help out the young quarterback. So it's a little bit of a tricky balance, but, that's what you got to do. You have to, if you can run the ball, you know, it's the same thing. If you can run the ball really well and to the point where defenses have to defend it, then that makes passing that much easier. It's simple math there. The opposite works too. If the Chiefs a couple years ago throwing it all over the place, when they decided to run it, they could break off 30 yard because they're not even bothering to defend it. So it works the same way either way. But you, in order to pull off the passing working to help the running game, you need to have somebody already at a Patrick Mahomes level. For the Jets, they need to do focus on the run game to help Zach Wilson out as well. But this is also just, you know, the Shanahan philosophy is the run games opens everything up first. And that's going to be something that I'm fairly confident and certain that LaFleur is on board with as well.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from Dylan Lashway. He says, what are your thoughts on the schedule and what do you think a realistic record for the Jets is at this moment? Personally, I think 7-10. What are your thoughts? So I gave my thoughts on this on the schedule episode that I did with Nick Spano of U Stadium. Go back and listen to that for my full thoughts on everything. I'm not going to repeat all of it because it was a full show. All I will say is I think 7-10 is definitely realistic. I believe I said 6 or 7 wins. And if things break right, it could be above that. If things break wrong, it could be a little bit below it. But I think 6 or 7 makes sense. Right now, the over-under in Vegas is 5.5. If I were to bet on it, I would say the over at this moment. Chris, what do you think as far as realistic record? And since you haven't sounded off on this yet, talk a little bit about your thoughts on the schedule release itself.
All right, so the schedule release, I'll give you my first media thought and then my second media thought. My first media thought was just, really? NFC North? Just one after, right? Just what? Just 4 straight NFC North games to start the season? Like, what are you just trying to do? This probably isn't, go ahead and schedule that 10 years ago, and I think that you're trying to, like, murder everybody on this Jets team. Luckily, the NFC, the AFC North isn't quite as physically imposing and demanding as it was back then. But, yeah, that stuck out a little bit. And then the second thing was, I was like, man, it would probably be pretty nice if you could swap out you know, if the last five games of the season, if you could make those the first five games of the season, get that a nice little ramp up to start the season. And then, you know, it'd be one of those years where you could be one of those teams that gets to a fast start, much faster than everybody expected because of a light cupcake schedule, and then just kind of coast off that all the way through into the playoffs. But, you know, starting with that, they could have blended it a little bit better, easier for the Jets. But I would feel comfortable betting that over. I'm not gonna feel comfortable that they're gonna win it by a lot, because I would say seven games. That's where I'm planting my flag. I think six or seven games. I'm gonna go on the little bit optimistic side. I'm gonna plant my flag on 7-9 season from the Jets next year.
Well, 7-10, Chris. Remember, it's 17 games now.
I think I'm going to just say that forever on purpose. That wasn't on purpose. That was a mistake. But I think at some point I'm going to try to just stick with this on purpose.
It really is crazy because I forget all the time myself. It's sort of like when the new year hits and you still keep writing the previous year for a while until it finally becomes a habit for you. I think it's going to take a while for both of us and for many people to remember that it's 17 games and not 16. Next question comes in from Sir Avla Jets. He says, who will replace Jamison Crowder in Mike LeBooth's trick plays? Well, it's going to be a combination of guys. They'll use Elijah Moore in the trick plays. They'll use Garrett Wilson in the trick plays. They'll use Braxton Berrios in the trick plays. They'll probably use Michael Carter a little bit with the trick plays. So it's going to be a little bit of everybody. I expect everyone to get more involved, especially now that LaFleur will be more comfortable in year number two running this offense.
Yeah, not just that part of it, though. Now that there's more options for him to do that with, now that there's more traditional weapons for him to use and employ, that kind of opens things up for even more trickeration. So I think we'll see. This is going to be one of the fun things to watch, is to see when he starts deploying it. Is he going to start, you know, sprinkling some of it in the beginning, or is he going to wait to see if the offense – that's going to be one of the fun things to do. But clearly you could see that he's got some creativity in him. We saw that last year. It's just a question of how much he wants to play around with that creativity no matter what, and how much he wants to rely on that creativity when he feels he might need to, because, you know, they're underserved or something like that. So, that's going to be fun to pay attention to.
Next question comes from Nicholas Joseph. He says, I've been hearing a lot of Jets media content talking about Wilson and how he now has no excuses, which is warranted, but I feel like they're chomping at the bit, waiting for failure. No excuses narrative is self-destructive. Have faith and embrace, Jets fans. I don't know that that's a question, but let's try and deconstruct that anyway. I get what you're saying, that by saying no excuses, it puts a little more pressure on Zach Wilson, but that's just the reality. The Jets went out, they made improvements, and they surrounded him with some talent. And no, it's not a Super Bowl roster. We've talked about this, but they have come a long way, and they have given him some real weapons to work with, some real protection on the offensive line. They upgraded the defense. So Wilson really doesn't have any excuses to not be better this year. Now, that doesn't mean that he has to be awesome. It doesn't mean that he has to carry the Jets to the playoffs. What it does mean is, at the end of year number two, Jets fans should be confident in saying Zach Wilson is legitimate starting quarterback in this league. He took some significant steps, some important steps, and now Jets fans know that Zach Wilson is going to be the quarterback going forward. I'm not saying he has to jump from being one of the worst quarterbacks in the league his rookie year to being a top 10 quarterback year number two. But even look at what happened with Josh Allen. He went from being, say, one of the worst in the league as a rookie to about the 20th best quarterback year two. And then from 20 in year two, he jumped into the top 10 in year three. That's what you want to see trajectory-wise. So even if Zach Wilson is, say, like 18th to 20th best, that's a significant improvement from what we saw as a rookie. And I think that's really what people mean when they say no excuses. They mean no excuses for Zach Wilson not to improve significantly. I don't think they're saying no excuses for Wilson not to break out and become a top 10 quarterback in year number two. That's just not realistic based on how poorly he played last year. But if he shows you this year that he's significantly improving, that he's making the strides that need to be made, and that you can have confidence that he's going to continue to get better going forward, that's what you're looking for. And I think that's what people mean when they say no excuses. No excuses for him to not do that.
Yeah, they mean no excuses in the same fact that, you know, since you go back to Sanchez, you know, not after those first 2 years, but then they take Kotry, they start taking the offensive line away. And then you got Geno, and then, oh, well, Jeremy Curley's his best receiver. And then you got Darnold, and you're sitting there like, oh, he doesn't have an offensive line. He doesn't have a weapon. And so then at the end of Darnold, and at the end of Geno, and at the end of Sanchez, all of us are kind of looking around at each other like, yeah, I don't think he's a guy, but also like, we do have to admit, like, he didn't get any help. Like, maybe he could have been, and he was just kind of ruined. And we've been through that. That's not the case here. Joe Douglas went out and he got Zach Wilson his training wheels. This isn't an insult to Zach Wilson. This is just the thing that NFL teams are doing now. With rookie quarterbacks, the Dolphins went and they got Tua training wheels. The Bills, Stephon Diggs, they got Josh Allen training wheels. Teams are going out for their young quarterbacks and they're giving him everything they can do to put around them, offensive line, weapons, to make that rookie quarterback's, you know, young quarterback's job easier. The Joe Douglas has done that right now, and barring, you know, like injuries across the board, there's no excuses along the line here. If Zach Wilson isn't good enough this year, it's because Zach Wilson isn't good enough this year. It's not because the offensive line was too terrible and they didn't have enough time. It's not because he didn't have anyone to throw the ball to. Now, it doesn't mean that it's the most perfect roster to do that with, but there's enough there that he should be able to show something. If he can't show something, then they're going to be looking for other options next year. I'm not saying that they'll be completely move on, because, again, A, it's going to depend on where we are here on site and scale. But they'll start thinking about a more serious backup at the very least if Zach Wilson doesn't prove everything to them this year.
Next question comes in from Mr. Gonzo. He says, what do you think the keys will be to beating the Ravens? And if the Jets lose week one, will that set a negative path? Or is this a different team that can now overcome a loss like that? It's obviously very early to determine what the keys will be to beating Baltimore. But I would say that obviously one of the biggest keys, and this is going to go without saying when it comes to the Ravens, is keeping Lamar Jackson contained. And I'm sure Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich are going to do everything they can to make that happen, to keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket, because obviously if you can contain him, it makes it a lot easier to throw him off and to beat the Ravens and stop them from doing much on offense. So that'll be the key on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, everything we've been talking about, control the clock, make plays with the running game, use the offensive line to push, get those receivers involved, but you don't want to see Zach Wilson having a case of cowboyitis. That's really, I think, what they're going to be looking to do, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball.
No team can let losing to the Ravens like throw your season off. And this is the Ravens. Like, how many more organizations in sports have been more steadily good than the Ravens? If you're going to let losing to the Ravens throw your season off, that you got huge problems. That's every team in the league, because the Ravens are good. They beat a lot of teams year in, year out. But, yeah, you know, no Hollywood Brown now. We'll see if Rashad Bateman can have a full training camp, come back in. But, obviously, with Lamar, you got to worry about the legs. You got to worry about that. And then – as we were saying before, a strong running game opens up that passing game. You know, Mark Andrews, somebody you're going to have to pay very close attention to there. But, you know, and then defensively, the Ravens are always just sound all across the board. They're going to need a mistake-free game from Zach Wilson. They're going to need to run the ball, control the clock, keep Lamar off the field. It's a tall task to ask to beat Baltimore in week one. Just always well-coached team. You know, this isn't going to be like when Adam Gase was the coach and the Jets were just unprepared, but going up against a team that's always going to be prepared. It's tough. I if they can get a win, I think that can rocket them and propel them to have a much better season than I'm thinking, or at least a better season than I'm thinking. But I don't think a loss to the Patriots or to the Ravens to start the season can really do anything negative. They're the Ravens, man. They're really good. They've been really good my entire adult life.
That's going to wrap up part one of the mailbag. Make sure you follow Chris on Twitter at CNimbly and at Jets Insider. Read his very big deal work over at JetsInsider.com. Visit PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel to check out everything we're doing over there. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has got some great All-22 breakdowns of all the Jets draft picks. Plus, he just did a review of Zach Wilson's improvement after he came back from injury last year. Watch all the videos and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinn and Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.